All right, if you've got your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Titus. The book of Titus, chapter number 3. The last couple of times that I've stood, I've been in the book of Titus. I've tried to sort of give you a little overview of each chapter. It's very short, three chapters in this small book. It's one of the pastoral epistles, as we call them, but I want you to know that it's just not for pastors. The pastoral epistles give us a lot of instructions of men, women, young, old, how if we're saved and part of the body of Christ, we're to be functioning as a part of that body. There's a lot of good instruction in here, things that we are to be doing and things that we're to be watching out for as we go through this life and as we try to carry on God's work. So keep that in mind as we look into chapter number 3. Now in chapter 1, I encourage you to stand with God's preachers, serve as God's prisoner, and to be a soldier that's prepared. And I think that God expects that out of His people today as we try to have a place that we call Liberty Baptist Church. And if you're a member of Liberty Baptist Church, if you're part of the body of Christ, then God has got a work for you to do. We're not to be spectators, but we're to be participators. God's got something for each one of us to do. In chapter number 2, I gave you a title of a peculiar people. We're to have words of a holy vocabulary. We're to have a walk of a holy vocation. We're to have a watch from a holy vantage that Jesus is coming again one of these days for His church, and that ought to be in our heart. Every one of us ought to be looking for Him. We ought to be longing for Him, and we ought to be a loving for His appearing. Amen? He's coming one of these days. Don't let Him take you by surprise, friend. Jesus is coming one of these days, and according to my word right here, the word of God, friend, that He's given us, we're in the last days. We're in the Laodicean church age, and Jesus is soon to come. And I want to remind you that we also have a work that's not in vain. There's a payday coming one of these days. There's a day that's gonna come that we're gonna stand before God. We're gonna give an account for the things that He had for you to do, for me to do. Amen? We're gonna give an account how we served Him. Whether we rejected what He wanted us to do or whether we accepted it. But now in Titus chapter number 3, let's look at these verses here. Now, he's speaking here. He says, Paul is speaking to Timothy about the island of Crete, the people over there in this church. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Let me read that again. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Now this whole book right here has a lot to say about works. And these things that are, he says, these things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing that he that is such as subverted and sinneth and being condemned of himself. When I shall send our Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I've determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. And all that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. Brother Adam, you pray. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Amen. Tonight, in this chapter, I want to go through sort of a verse-by-verse study in this passage tonight, and want us to examine ourselves and see if we're really doing a good work for the Lord. He says that these things are good and profitable unto men, and for us to be careful to maintain good works. You know, one of these days, when the payday comes, I want to show a profit, don't you? Anybody ever went in business doing something and want to show a loss? Well, I guess, you know, if I'm... I bought some goats this past year. My main intention was to show a loss on my income tax. So, well, now that's okay. But I did show a loss. But when I stand before the Lord one day, I don't want all I've done in this life for Him to go up in smoke. Our works are going to be tried by fire according to the Word of God. And only the things that we've done for Him, if we've been true to His name and faithful to Him and gone out and done what He has instructed us to do in the Word of God and urged us to do by the Holy Ghost, friend, that'll stand the test of the fire. And I want to show a prophet in that day, don't you? And if we'll do these things, he says right here, he says these things are good and profitable unto men. So if we're doing a good work for Him, we're being a blessing to others. Amen? Well, all right, let's go look at verse number 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. He's talking about our conduct in our community. You know, we ought to be good citizens. Amen? That's what he's telling us right here. We ought to have a good testimony in the community. We ought not to be lawbreakers. We ought not to be troublemakers. But when people look at us, they ought to see Christ in us. They ought to be able to respond to, if somebody were to call your name out in public, they ought to be able to say, well, he's a Christian. And he acts like a Christian. And he says that's just the way that we ought to be, friend. Our testimony is important. And he says right here, put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Friend, there's a challenge right here to keep yourself under control and to be ready unto every good work. There's a good work for you to do out here. You need to maintain a good testimony so people have confidence in you. Amen? Amen. So it ain't too hard to come to church and behave, is it? Amen? But what about out here going down the road and in town? And what about when somebody gets your place in the aisle at Walmart? What you going to do? Amen? Now, we all guilty, ain't we? We got flesh about us, don't we? And Sheila gets on to me all the time for getting mad driving. People don't know how to drive. You ever notice that? But I need to work on that. Amen? I don't need to be shaking my fist at folks going down the road and then get up here in the pulpit and look out there and there they are in the audience. So we need to be careful. We ought to, our conduct in our community is important. Our testimony is important. The Bible says we ought to follow peace with all men. Amen? Not just the ones we want to, but all men. We ought to try to be a peaceful person. But notice this. In verse 2, he said to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, that's not a real macho verse, is it? We all want to be the top dog. Amen? We all want to think, well, ain't nobody going to push me around. Ain't nobody going to mess me. I'm top dog. I'll bust them one. But this verse is right opposite. He said not even to speak evil of them. Amen. Not to be brawlers, but to be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Now, I could show meekness and gentleness unto a few if you'd let me pick them, Lord. But that ain't what he said. We ought to be gentle, like Christ. Now, there's times when we need to take a stand. Amen? When people go to bucking the things of God, then we're to take a stand on this word right here. Not to go out and fist fight nobody over it, but stand our ground for what we believe in, for the right doctrines of this word of God. We ought to have a straight talk and we ought to have a straight walk. Amen? Speak evil of no man. People are watching you walk and they're listening to how you talk. Amen. Let me tell you how you can control your tongue. That's a problem too, ain't it? Look here. Look in Galatians chapter 5. Here's the key to it. Listen to this. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Temperance, self-control, gentleness, meekness. Hey, how are you going to get all these attributes, these characteristics in your life, friend? The fruit of the Spirit. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why he says be filled with the Spirit. You want to control your tongue? You want to stop your gossiping? You want to stop your cussing? Hey, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get close to God. Draw nigh to Him. He said He'd draw nigh to you. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. He wants you to be a light in this world. He wants your conduct and my conduct under control. We can do it if we'll strive for it. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Not only conduct in our community, conduct under control, but look at a character, friend, that's changed. In verse 3, he says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. You know what he's saying? Don't act like that anymore. Don't act like that. Now, we can be dumb, we can be disobedient, we can be deceived, we can be defiled, we can be depraved, we can despise others, we can be destructive, we can be devilish. He said, that's what we used to be. We ought not to be like that anymore. Amen. He says, you go tell these people this. Don't be like that anymore. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Hey, that old man's still present. You're going to have to work on him. You're going to have to put him off. And you need help doing it. You need the Lord Jesus Christ and His fullness in your life, friend, to do that. You can't handle this flesh by yourself. Amen. Let me tell you, you need all the Word of God that you can get in your life, and you need all the church that you can get in your life. You need all the praying that you can get in your life. You need all the fellowship of God's people that you can get in your life, and you need to stay away from the hell holes and the things out in this world that turn you back into the world. You've got to separate yourselves. A character that's changed. Our character is very important. Goes along with our testimony. We're to be different. We're to be that peculiar people that the Bible speaks about. When Jesus, when they spit upon Jesus, when they mocked Him, when they slapped Him and cursed Him and did all these things, He didn't turn back. He didn't do anything. Turned His other cheek. Meekness, gentleness. And if we're going to be Christ-like, we need to work on that in our life. Amen? We need to be have the character of Christ in our life. And look at this. He says, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. You see, that old person that we used to be, we'd still be there, friend, if it hadn't been for Christ coming to us and offering us a chance at salvation, offering a chance at life, friend, and coming into us to indwell and to try to motivate us to be a new man, to be that new creature, to be Christ-like. Lord, I thank God every day that He called us from darkness to His marvelous light. Amen. Hey, you remember where you were when He called you? You remember you was headed towards the devil's hell? You was serving your lust of your flesh and the things of this world, servants of the devil, friend, but Jesus stepped in and gave you a chance at life. He didn't do it because you was good. He didn't even do it because He thought you'd be good. He did it because He loved you. Listen, friend, the call of Christ, verse 4 through 6. He says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The call of God was a call by the gospel. Then for God to have called us, there had to be a price paid. We were unacceptable. We were unacceptable. We were aliens. We were strangers from the commonwealth of Israel and the hope, the promises of God. We had no hope in this world. But God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, He died on the cross for us and the gospel was birthed at Calvary, friend. And He called us by His grace and by His mercy, not by works which we've done. By His grace and His mercy, He calls us, not by merit, but by mercy. Each one of us. Each one of us have nothing to boast of but Christ and the cross. But notice this, what He says right here in verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He's not talking about water baptism right here. But he's speaking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the great love wherewith he loved us, friend. He washed us from our sins in his own blood, is what Revelation 1 and 5 says. It took blood. It took a sacrifice to satisfy a holy God. He had to take our place. His blood was shed when we were the guilty ones. But he's washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he speaks of regeneration right here. Speaking of a new birth. See, we must be born again. Or we'll not see the kingdom of God. It's what Christ told Nicodemus, isn't it? You see, when Adam sinned in the garden, he died spiritually and he plunged mankind into depravity. We're descendants of Adam. We need to be born again, born of the Spirit of God, to have Him come in and give us new life by His Holy Spirit. Thank God. Thank God He's willing to do that. Thank God He's still birthing children into the family of God today. Thank God there's still hope today for a lost sinner. Thank God that Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. 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 It's a free gift. He shed his blood for you. And he wants to birth you into the family of God. And then he speaks about the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Notice, friend, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. He comes in, indwells, he empowers, he energizes, he challenges, he teaches, he corrects me when I'm turning in the wrong direction. He's an ever-present help in our lives today. If we just quit quenching him, start listening to him, start seeking his fullness. Oh, look at it. Look at what He's done for us, friends. He cleanses us and He changes our life. Verse 6. Notice the compassion. He said, which He has shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hey, He didn't say which He shed on us through Muhammad or Buddha. Or any other name under heaven, friend. Hey, it's Jesus Christ, friend, whereby man must be saved. There's no other way. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God gave His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him could have eternal life. What compassion. We didn't merit Him. We were not worthy of Him, but God gave Him that we could have a chance at life. The compassion of Christ. But notice this, in verse 7, our condition in Christ. He says that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hey, we put too much emphasis on this life. This life is short. This life is just a stepping stone to eternity, friend. There's a heaven out here and there's a hell. And we're going to go either to one place or the other. But through the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, we're justified by His grace. We're made heirs of God according to the hope of eternal life. John says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. Friend, this world right here, hey, this thing's going to burn up one of these days. We better be getting to living for Jesus and doing the things that He wants us to while He's giving us energy and strength to do it. I realize we're living in the Laodicean church age. We better learn how to overcome that spirit of Laodicea. We're going to wake up one of these days on your deathbed, look back at your life and say, where'd it go? I wasted it. I wasted it chasing the things of this world. I've got nothing to show for the spiritual things. We better wake up. Our condition in Christ, because you accepted the free gift. All your past, all your present, and all your future is under the blood. Innocent. You'll stand before God as one of His sons. What a Savior we have. Hey, you know what? If we took a survey of this room, we picked out the best person in here. Without Christ, there'd be no hope for you. What a Savior. Our condition in Christ, but our confidence is confirmed in verse 8. He says, this is a faithful saying. Paul speaking. Says you can take it to the bank. Hey, you can take any other book in this world, and it may have some lies in it. It may have some untruths in it. But what God has said, you can take it to the bank. It's faithful because He's faithful. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. 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 We've been raised up in a society that works a dirty word. Amen? Nobody wants to work anymore. That's not biblical. What did God tell Adam? Going to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, didn't he? And not only works to maintain the physical person, but there's a spiritual work to do. A spiritual work. Hey, Jesus didn't save you just to set you down on a pew. Amen? He's got a work for you to do. I'm getting the amens right there. He's got a work for you to do. Say amen. We can do it. Hey, we ought to believe what He said. This is a faithful saying. We ought to believe it. We ought to bank on it. We ought to stand on it. We ought to preach it. We ought to teach it. We ought to practice it. We ought to present it to the world. And He says right here, there's a profit to it. A profit. Let me ask you something. Has God ever nudged you to do something? Has God, the Holy Ghost, ever spoken to you to maybe out there on your workplace to be a witness, testify to somebody? Maybe it was to carry something to somebody that's sick, or just doing something because God, the Holy Ghost, has nudged you to do it. Hey, there's a profit in that. Have you ever noticed when you're obedient to God, it makes you feel good? It pleases God. There's a profit. Be careful to maintain good works. Be careful to maintain good works. Be careful to maintain good works. Not only confidence confirmed, but notice in verse 9 through 11, there's going to be some controversy and contentions. Don't think the devil's just going to sit down, let you serve God. He's going to try to get between you and God. If you try to draw nigh to God, He's going to try to step in between you. He's going to send somebody to hurt your feelings. He's going to send somebody to get right where your weakness is and just step all over your toes. He says this, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." Hey, we believe in the King James Bible here, don't we? I believe this is the Word of God. There's a lot of other versions I think is out of hell. Amen? But you know, there'll be somebody that they may have a pedigree this long. And they may have one of them funny Bibles. They may be a good debater. You know what Paul says? Stay away from them. We got the Word of God right here. Don't put up with them. You ain't got to argue with them. Just tell them to get lost. Just tell them, I don't need your junk. That ain't what I believe. Move on. You ain't going to change my mind yet. Amen. Don't give ear to the devil. Amen. Amen. Avoid. He said, avoid it. He said, a man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. In other words, when they've been called down once, they come back again. When they've been admonished again, they come back. He said, reject them. Now, there's heretics that'll come join your church. Amen. You better watch them birds. Reject them. He said, knowing that he that is such is subverted or perverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Controversy and contentions will come. Be meek and gentle and tell them to get lost. Amen. All right. Notice this now. I'm getting close to the end right here. Notice this, the cooperation of Christians. Part of the body of Christ. I like the Word of God. We're part of His body. And anybody want to give up their fingers? Anybody want to give up your arms? Your feet? We're part of Christ's body. Different members. And we need each other. We need to work together. We need to be functioning as a complete body of Christ. And Paul right here, he says, when I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Necropolis, for I've determined there to winter. He said, bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey, diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. You see, he had people that would cooperate. He had people he could call on. He knew that when he called upon them, they wouldn't make excuses. They'd cooperate in the ministry. Boy, it's a shame when a preacher stands up and needs a volunteer for a Sunday school class, or he calls on somebody to teach, or whatever it might be. People go to ducking on the pews. Shame, isn't it? Boy, we ought to be eager to serve God whatever way that we possibly can. Amen? Cooperation of Christians. And lastly this, notice this, a caution to Christians. In verse 14, he said, and let ours, our people. Listen now, I'm reading to you, Liberty Baptist Church. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. That's a caution. That's a word of caution. that ours learn to maintain good works. A little earlier he said, be careful to maintain good works. Then he said, learn. Learn it. Hey, if you're not doing anything for God, he said, you better learn how. Better learn how to get on your face. Hey, if we could be like Isaiah, when God said, whom shall we send and who will go for us? Isaiah said, here am I, Lord. Send me. He didn't say, Lord, where are you going to send me? Lord, I don't know if I want that. But he said, Lord, here am I. Send me. Well, if we had that kind of attitude, there's no telling what we could do. Amen. Be careful to maintain some good works. God's looking for good works at Liberty Baptist Church. Amen. Amen. Stand with me.